Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, His grace, His mercy, His great favor upon us, that on this night of barakah and blessings, on the night of Jummah, which is the greatest day and night of the whole week, and this is called the Sayyidul Ayyam, the head of all of the days of the week. And this great day has great rewards, because Allah's special rahmah, mercy and grace is upon this day and night. So every amal in this blessed time, Allah Ta'ala gives many times over extra rewards. And after that, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us the majlis, the ability and capability to sit in His majlis, His gathering, and has given us the tawfiq to recite His name. These are those rewards and favors. These are the favors of Allah, the rewards, opportunities Allah has given, especially for His mu'mineen, and He has mentioned them in the Quran. A sahabi, a companion, requested and put forward a question to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ajeeb question, very different type of question. He had fikr, worry, concern, passion. And in this way the sahaba would question and ask, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there are many deeds or actions of the sharia Allah Ta'ala has given to us, but can you tell me such an amal, such a deed, that I can do that all the time? Subhanallah. All the time. What a great question. A great point. No wealth did he ask, no money did he ask, no building, no structure. Why did he ask such a question? Why? Because in his mind, the akhirah, the hereafter, was, you could say, weighty. And the dunya, just like the world, is overwhelming us. Whenever we speak in the shadow of the world. But they were always worried and concerned about the akhirah, because they knew that this world is useless. We need to worry about that life, which is forever in the hereafter. They used to speak with that concern and worry. So imagine what a great response they would have got. Alhamdulillah. Now if we think that this answer was for them alone, no, it's for us, my brothers. It's for us. This message that's coming to us, we need to implement this. Yes? That's why this discussion took place. Just like I stated in the beginning, that every majlis, every majlis of ours is ilm, the gathering of knowledge. We first get knowledge. If we get knowledge, then we'll do amal, isn't it? No gathering is small, minor. Wherever any nasiha is taking place, there's a great and lofty and high, and a gathering with heights, because ilm is being discussed, disseminated, Quran is being mentioned, hadith is being mentioned, and those who are listening are those who Allah Ta'ala sent. These are those people Allah Ta'ala says, I consider that their hearts are soft, and they will also do amal inshaAllah. They will practice. Otherwise, me and you, if we're empty boxes, how can we sit here? We know that we have to move. Allah knows they have to practice, deliver the knowledge to them, and they'll try. So what a big statement. What a big point. That sharia has many amal, many deeds. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I'm not satisfied. Subhanallah, he had salah, fasting, hajj, all of the actions. But he's not satisfied. It's not enough, Allahu Akbar. Because he thought that, okay, let's pray salah. After that, what will I do? Okay, I'll recite some Quran. Then after that, there will be some time. What will I do? Look at the thinking. He said, then if I read Quran, what shall I do after that? Okay, I'll do some tasbih. What shall I do after that? I'll keep a fast. The fasting, the month will end. Then what do I do? Gaps are coming, aren't they? So he asked such a question, that this is Jannah in the hereafter, which is forever, and I don't want to have any regrets there. So I need to do such an action that not even a second should I be free from doing good. Say subhanAllah. And this is what we need. Don't we need this, brothers? Do you want a taxi? You want a house? Shop? We want this. What do we want? This. So let's change our direction a little bit, of focus. This is what we need, isn't it? This one. Do you understand what I'm saying? So such a big path has opened up. So he was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Sayyidul Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So why would he not give the answer? Subhanallah, he came for this purpose. Mubashira wa Nadira. He came to this world for this reason, purpose. They ask me and I will tell you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So he said, okay, I will explain to you, give you answer. That's no problem. Good question. Within a second, not a second will you be free from doing good, and you will wander around in paradise. My brothers, will we do this? Inshallah. Speaking the truth. Okay, shall I tell you? Because obviously you should ask this question. So Rasulullah said to him that if you want to do an action that you're not satisfied, then I'll satisfy you. That Rasulullah said, do dhikr kathira, do abundance of dhikr, remembrance of Allah. Look at this. Who is this? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's great statement. Great, then every gap of yours will be filled, subhanallah. Go, you can run a business, run a taxi, drive a taxi, go to your wife, children, and run your business. But don't worry, do dhikr in abundance, in high quantity, that remember Allah in your heart. Yes, this parrot, we need to train it and teach it the name of Allah. You know the tota, the parrot. What do we call it in Gujarati? Popat in Gujarati. And very commonly happens when a person buys a poppet, then he teach him verbs and statements and he keeps on speaking. So Allah has given us a poppet, is a parrot. Teach it. Teach the heart. Every moment it will do Allah, 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 Allah. Treat it, teach it, condition it. And this is what we need. That if you don't even say Allah once, you've said Allah once and the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with thawab reward. How many people are doing this? I will tell me. No one has desire. Oh no, I prayed salah. That's it. That's enough. Oh mad person, we are going to the akhirah. Thereafter, do you know what will be the hisab, the questioning there? Yes. We're going to depart from this world very quickly, very soon. We stood on the platform and the train is waiting. We've even already got the ticket allocated to us. The transportation is ready. And just the file's been submitted, just the signature is left. That's it. Small amount of time left. So when we go to the akhirah, then immediately when a person's transferred, suddenly this world will end. End of story. Action's finished. Deeds finished. Not even once can you say subhanallah more after that. Not one word can you speak after the end of life. That's it. Finished. End of account. Yes. And this is it. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Allah has told us, loot, loot, loot. Not the dunya. Loot the hereafter. Loot the deeds and the rewards of the hereafter. I'll tell you a very light point. Listen to it carefully to what I'm saying. That this dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given us such a dunya, such things in the dunya, that none of our seconds or moments in a life are without us to the hereafter. Every single thing. That is akhirah. And in the akhirah, my friends, we need to think that the akhirah, the hereafter is a reflection of what we did here. So just like here, there are rich and poor people, there will be rich and poor people in the hereafter. It's a reflection, like a mirror image. So if there's a person who's poor here, he looks around, looks at big houses, mansions. Oh, look at his house, look at his car. Oh, my children, they can't eat this. Look at his children. We have this, don't we, poor people? Okay, we'll go to this country, even then we're poor. We keep on crying, we're poor. Okay. So there, even in the hereafter, there are rich and poor. What will we do if we're poor in the hereafter? What will we do? Because that place, we will be poor forever. My friends, think about this. If you get a place, I saw one person, he passed away. And I thought, let me see, where is he going? And I saw that there was a quarter, a room. Do you understand quarter? Like a normal-like room. And there was a quarter, a room, and he was outside in the heat. And I said, Hazrat, I said, why are you sitting here? He said, yes, that's it. This is the place I've got. And now, tell me. There, we will have to see what happens in the hereafter. We're trying so much to elevate our position in the world. The whole life finishes. And when we stop breathing, then we'll be poor as well in the hereafter. Yes? Hey, if in your destiny is written, it's someone who's poor, you'll stay poor. Doesn't matter how hard you try. So this is an ajeeb philosophy that the person who's rich here, and for persons, if he's, for example, rich there, he might be poor here. A person who's poor, he might be richer. A person here is rich if he's got more money. And the person who's rich in the hereafter is the person who's got more amal. Straightforward. And who is the poor person here? Who has less wealth, money? Who is the poor person in the hereafter? The person who has less deeds to buy the hereafter. So do we want to be rich or poor? So we should practice good deeds, shouldn't we? And how should we? Just like the Sahabi asked. What a great question. So the Sahabi said that I don't need any time to be free or poor. I don't want to be poor in the hereafter, Ya Rasulullah. I want to be rich. That I've lived my life on dates and maybe not much here, but we've spent the life here where we want to be poor, but we want to be rich enough to say subhanAllah. That we don't want no mahle, no wealth. We sacrificed our time. We don't need women, houses, assets. We're dates and they would fill our stomach, fine. But in the hereafter, we don't want to stay like this. So I see a gap in my time and I don't want to be poor. Ya Rasulullah, please tell me that I can be rich in the hereafter and I have palaces and beautiful women and palaces and I drink the alcohol and I'm enjoying myself and playing. That's what will happen in the hereafter, isn't it? So what else will happen? That will there be masjids there, the bleaching mats, come on, let's go to Hazrat Sahib's majlis. No drama there. Eat, drink and enjoy yourself. Allah, say subhanallah, subhanallah. And that time is about to come there. But if we're sat there as miskeen and poor and this person's eating and he's got wives and he's got family and we've still got nothing and we've still got the broken down resources that we had in the world, we're saying no, we don't want that. The Sahabi, he opened the door for us. That do dhikran kathira. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me from your hearts in abundance, high quantity. Every moment of your life will be elevated and become better. So he sat in that majlis. Allah Ta'ala seated him there. So brothers, will we do dhikr? Will we learn the dhikr of Allah? Inshallah. So there's another Sahabi, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Great Sahabi, great companion. In other words, they weren't minor great Sahabis. They were those Sahaba who were forgiven, their palaces were made, and the Prophet had already seen their palaces and mansions. They were no minor individuals. SubhanAllah, they had greed for the hereafter, not for the world, but for the hereafter. So they're listening, everything they knew, and he said, no more. They want more for the hereafter. I'm not going to leave anything of the hereafter, no reward of the hereafter. I want to attain everything for the hereafter. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, what a unique question he asked, SubhanAllah. And it was the final meeting. And after that, there was no meeting of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal with the Prophet. Both cried. He cried and Rasulullah cried as well. They knew it was that final meeting. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the time I'm departing from you. The final meeting, I want to ask you a question. He said, please just tell me one thing. Why? Because he knew that if he realized this answer, he'd grab hold of it. He'd practice it. He said that, just tell me, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what is the most beloved action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. That do you think he didn't pray tahajjud? Did he not wake up in the night? Did he not pray in a wafil? Voluntary salah. He did everything that we cannot imagine until Qiyamah. They did all the actions under the sun. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. We don't know what amal he did. That this his greatest amal was what? That he used to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. Was there any greater amal than this? To see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest deed. Look at their greed. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, please tell me such an amal that Allah Ta'ala loves it, is beloved in the eyes of Allah. Then the answer came from Rasulullah SAW. That's, yes, I'll tell you. What is that? Dhikr kathira. Dhikr kathira. That high quantity of dhikr. And do dhikr so much quantity, so much in number, that when you are dying, then nothing of the world, no amal should you remember. You're just saying, Allah, 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 and departing from the world. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. We don't do nothing. What amal will we do? Yeah, look at how much is this, how much is that. People are running in front and behind. How many people have we with our own hands have we lifted the janazas from home, from outside, but our nafs doesn't want to keep us on the right path. This nafs, this desires is like shaitan. And most of all, we sit in the majalis, we sit in the dhikr majlis, we sit in the company of the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah. And we keep on reviving our hearts. The insan, they revive their hearts. And we should consider that we are the patients for thereafter. We have no time. You got a little bit of time. Sit in the sohbat, in the company of a sheikh. Listen to the words, nasiha, inshallah, your heart will open and you will go towards good. And for a second, you'll know there's a majlis, there's a wali Allah. And tuck, listen. Listen carefully. If nothing else, at least you'll see the wali of Allah. And Allah's put thawab, reward. If you see the wali of Allah, didar, you see him, there's nur in the words, there's shifa, there's cure, the hearts open up. 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, person who sits, he reaches to another world. To another world, subhanAllah. And this becomes the akhirah. We can do this much, at least in that if you're working, you're busy, you're doing nonsensical acts maybe. But fine that, but when you realize there's a majlis, a gathering of Allah's remembrance, okay, go, let's go, we'll remember Allah, our sins will be wiped away, we'll hear about Allah, our status will be increased, and then Allah's special rahmah, mercy will come down and we'll arrive into Jannah, paradise. And we won't be able to do sins, our hands will be sealed from doing, our hands and feet will be protected, our hands won't go towards sin. Yes, our hands won't go towards sin. That's how Allah will seal and protect our body, that you can't sin now. No way. I've made you my own. This is Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. He can do this. So If we realize that there's a majlis, just a little distant way. No. I'll just listen here. Don't be lazy like this, brothers. Don't be lazy with regards to the hereafter. Look at the difference between our life in this world, preparation for success in this world, and the preparation for the hereafter. The difference between the heavens and the earth, the gap. That's how much is the difference. We won't get nothing from this world. But one other thing, please also listen in addition. Allahu Akbar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared in such a way. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna ila rabbika muntaha. The verse is coming to my mind. Allah Ta'ala says, everything of yours will come to me. Allahu Akbar. Everything of yours, every action will come to me. And everything you'll get reward for, jaza. High jaza. And have you heard this, Allah Ta'ala says? That every action, every deed will come to my house. That will go. Is it? My watch? This will go. My kurta, my kameez, very expensive kurta boot, this will go. Allah said, everything of yours will come to me. Do you consider that just your deeds will go? This is what we think, isn't it? No. Listen to me carefully. Everything of ours will go to the hereafter, to Allah, subhanallah. Everything. Don't consider everything as a waste. The most expensive of cars will go, the Mercedes will go, the BMW will go. Everything will go, alhamdulillah, all our assets will go to the hereafter. Until today, is anything gone? But they will go. Have you seen them go? No, but they will go. Everything will go. Shall I tell you how they will go? Everything will arrive within a second. We think, oh, this is a waste of time, waste of money. What's this watch? No. Everything will, all the expensive things, all of the valuable things. Buy valuable things with the fadal wala. Look, I'm going in reverse with you on this topic. We think that just namaz is going, fasting, hajj, zakat, Quran is going, and that's it. We will do this a lot. Beware, don't do just this. Everything we should value and appreciate. Everything. Otherwise, Jannah will get a very small Jannah. Salah will give Jannah, and hajj and zakat and fasting. Is this what will give Jannah? No. Allah says everything will come, and in response to that, I will give you rewards. How? My watch. How will it go to the hereafter? My wife. And everything else, everyone, I know, how will they go? Whatever is mine will go. Allahu Akbar. Whatever is mine will go. Whatever is mine in this world. Listen, how will this go? Do you want to send your things to the hereafter? Yes? Then I'll explain to you how you can send all your assets, your possessions to the hereafter. This watch, for example, I bought it. Very expensive. And I bought this from Medina. I liked it. And it was quite expensive. Okay, why? Two things go with an insan in this world, remember. Two things. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. Maybe I can explain to you. Two things go along with an insan in this world. One is a person works for his desires and nafs, say subhanallah. Okay? What does he work hard for? To fulfill his desires and nafs. How? He sees a watch. Oh, beautiful watch, nice looking. I'll wear this. I'll enjoy it. What is this? This is my desire. I'll feel good and look good. Let's go beyond that. Okay, I'll have an image. People look, what an expensive watch. I go, wah, wah. And I'll go to the wedding. People will see my watch. 99% of our ideology is this, isn't it? Get a nice car. Yeah, I'll get it. Enjoy ourselves. We'll sit with the enjoyment. We'll go here and there. All of this is what? Nafs. You marry a beautiful woman. Oh, she's beautiful, mashallah. I feel like marrying her. I just want to marry her. I like her. I'm attracted to her. That's it. Everyone has their own preference. Somebody likes somebody who's maybe not beautiful to someone else. Everyone's beauty is not the same, is it? Everyone's attraction. So he gets a wife who he's attracted to. So this is desire-based, isn't it? Everything. Yeah? All desire-based. Yeah? It's all become law, Allah Ta'ala says. Yeah? Now, second point, come to the other side. The same examples now. These same things, these three examples give to you. Everything in the world is based on this. Clothes, everything, two things, isn't it? On our desires, isn't it? To this extent that if I love my wife or my son, it's a desire. A child comes into life, you see he's very beautiful, he's my grandson, you pick him up, kiss him. What is this? This is your desire, isn't it? Yes. So this is our life, isn't it? Now, Allah Ta'ala has prepared what? That these same examples of giving you, Allah said, all of these things will go. And these same things we can convert to what? That not for the sake of your desires, but this is for the sake of Allah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you understand the point? Have I explained this to you? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. So now two opposite things. Our life can have two tracks. One is following the nafs and desires, and secondly is one to travel for the sake of Allah. I bought this watch, and I know why I've bought this watch. I had a lot of money, I liked it. Doesn't matter, all the watches I have, there's a standard. Now I've given you my example for this reason, because I'm speaking to you from my heart, to you, my friends and my brothers. So they will have a certain characteristic. My money is being spent, not wasted. Why? Was my niyyah, my intention was this, that I live in the darkness. My every watch is like this, you'll see this. Subhanallah. I live in the darkness, and dhikr have to sit, and the lights are off, and it's dim, and I need to see the time. So I'll buy that watch always, which has good light, has good dials, which are illuminated on the side. We have the button. You have the signs, you know, on the markers on the side, on the periphery. Doesn't matter, but this is beneficiary for me. I can see the time. So what's my niyyah? That I'm spending this money, that watch I'm buying. There's no purpose of dunya, no heart desire. I don't want to show anybody. Rather what? That when I sit for the sake of dhikr, it's easy for me to look at the time. To look at the time. Yes, so now this watch, will it go with me or not? Allah's promise that anything that's connected to me, that won't just go. But due to that item, you will get the high maqam in Jannah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You understand what I'm saying? So, nothing of the human being, if it's attached to nafs desires, it will never go. We're wasting it. But any item, asset, resource, material thing in the world, if you've got it and connected it for the sake of Allah, I've got this for the sake of Allah, I don't have a desire to get this. I get married to a beautiful woman for what reason? That I don't have a desire, she's beautiful. I've done it for this reason, because it's a weak point for me. Women and a person likes attraction. So I've married a beautiful woman, I'll be satisfied. Then I'll be safe from the fitna and the sin of outside. I'll serve my wife. Why? Because I'll be satisfied by looking at her face and seeing her, I'll speak to her. It's my choice and I've married her. And I'll spend on her. But what's the benefit for me? What's the benefit of the connection with her? That I will please my Lord. That I'll be safe from zina outside in the world. And I'll sit with her and have company with her. There's a difference there, isn't it? So what's the difference? This woman, she will become my amal. I'll go, amal will go with me. But mashallah, the amal, this watch won't go. That when I transfer from this world, then just like the money is transferred from here, the dollars you convert. So the same thing, the watch will stay with you. But the value of the watch will convert into amal deeds and go to the hereafter. Subhanallah. Do you understand the point? So this is a thinking, a mindset, which is very important. We need to create this, nurture this. This is a temporary world, materialistic world. We are alive in this world. So two things we're getting with the fadl of Allah. So we're taking benefit, and also we'll get those in the hereafter. But 99% today, we keep them just limited to the world. This world is beautiful, I'll buy it. Oh, I'll sit in this. Oh, I'll have this. We follow our desires and we buy everything. Let's convert our thinking, tawajjuh, and make the intention, change it. I'm not doing it for the world. Rather, why am I doing this? For the akhirah, for the hereafter. Then you'll get the dunya and you'll get the hereafter. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Not you're serving your mother, for example. You have to. Why? Because there's a natural love for the mother. You're doing this, isn't it? So you're pressing her legs, assisting her, doing khidmat. I assist my mother, help my mother. Remember, that's fine. But remember, this love that you're demonstrating for your mother, will it go? No. Because you are doing it based on your desires. This is your tippy, natural love. And if you think that this is for Allah's pleasure, I'm doing it, she's my mother, and for the sake, Allah, for the mother's love, Allah will be happy. I don't want my desire, I'm not doing it for my love. Rather, only for this reason, that Allah Ta'ala will be happy, and this will become an amal, a good deed, Allah will become pleased with this. And just for Allah, I'm doing this khidmat, this service, that will become amal for us, subhanAllah. Yes, so if your mother gives you hukam that you're doing something against Sharia, for example, will you serve her? If she says to you, do something against Deen, Islam, you say, mother, this is wrong, I can't do this. What's happened? So yes, the relationship is there. Every relationship has to be there, connected to Allah for the sake of Allah. Yes? So this is the thinking, the mindset. When we create this mindset, make this our measurement gauge for life, then that person becomes a wali Allah. That's it. That's the definition of a wali Allah. He becomes a friend of Allah. He becomes the friend of Allah. And everything goes for the sake of Allah. And this is the quality of the friends of Allah. They don't do any other action. They do every action for the sake of Allah. They have no second action. That's it. Subhanallah. So Dr. Abdul Hay, Quddus Allah, Nur Allah Marqada, such a great wali Allah, Shaykh, my Muhsin, and I had his company, his blessed company, and Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullah, he's one of his highest khalifas. What a big khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi sahab, the Mulana Taqi sahab, Mulana Mufti Rafi sahab, are both murids of him. So they are his murids. So yes, that his father Mufti sahab took them, said, "Go, I've educated you, taught you, now I assign you to my sheikh. He is the khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi sahab, and he will give you tarbiyah." And both brothers were sent there 10 years. They were not given permission to give speech. How many years? 10 years. Beware. Don't give a speech. Sit here and do mujahidah. Make effort. Strive. No speech. No bayan. And now such a great mujahidah did at the company of the Waliullah, and there's mashallah no limit to the greatness of their speeches. Every point, everything they speak about the sheikh. The sheikh wasn't an alim. As a Dr. Abdul Hayy, he was a homeopathic doctor. This Ajiz, this humble servant, also sat in his company, had the blessings of his company. I'm telling you about him. Look at the shan, the glory of the Wali of Allah. And he's explaining his event. He said that I came home once. Look at how he controlled his thinking. He said, when I came home, then my grandson had come home, and I saw my grandson playing, and suddenly my love, my passion arose, and I embraced my grandson. I went forward, I want to pick him up, embrace him and love him. Every child loves the children. He said, I was just going forward, then I stopped myself. I thought, what am I doing here? What am I about to do? I'm wasting my amal, my deed, because am I doing this to fulfill my desires? Is this why I'm doing this? This love I have, this is a natural love, Tibi, because he's my grandson. He's my blood relative, my grandson. Stop, what are you doing? He said, I stopped straight away. I came back, sat down. Then I did a bit of maraqabah. Suddenly in my heart came a thought that Rasulullah was present in Madinatul Manawwara, and he sat on the Minbar Sharif, on his minbar, on the pulpit, and he was giving the speech on the day of Jummah. Imam Hassan or Imam Hussein, they were young, small, and he came towards his grandfather. Rasulullah saw him, he left everything and went quickly and picked up his grandson and embraced him and put him into his lap. Subhanallah. Now, he's changed his thinking that I'll go towards my grandson, not for this reason that I love him, he's my grandson, I'll go for this reason. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have put this hadith in my heart. So this love I will do for the sake of Allah, I will love my grandson. Subhanallah, this child. Subhanallah. And he's loving. He said, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Allah likes if a person loves children. So this child is coming in front of me. I like him, love him. So I'll give love and affection to the child. This is the quality of the walis of Allah. So a person, every second in his life, he can make his Jannah in paradise. How can he be poor? How can he live in poverty? Tell me. How? So why can't we do this, my brothers? Can't we do? Of course we can do this, can't we? We can do this. That's it. So for that we need to make a little bit of effort, a little bit of manner, a little bit of effort, a little bit of effort. And what's that? That we need to control our hearts. We need to control our hearts. And the heart cannot just be controlled on its own. How do we control the heart? Through the medium, through the action of dhikr of Allah. When we do dhikr kathira, high abundance then in our hearts, the love of Allah will be overwhelming. It will suppress the other desires of the world. The walis of Allah has given us tariqah. When we do dhikr of Allah in the heart, then the more you remember someone or something, the more you love it. So if we do dhikr of the world all the time, then the love of the dunya is inside us. Obviously we come out, how much have you earned, what did you do, what's his profession, his house, his shops, his wife, children. 24 hours a day our topic is dunya, because dunya has ingrained into our hearts. We have to change this, redirect this, so we don't waste it. We take all the thawab that's present with us right now, all the things, bank balance of ours, even the money, alhamdulillah. We can have the asset. If we love money, why do we love money? So if money, alhamdulillah, I can give sadaqah, people are poor, I'll distribute, I'll make hospital, I'll make this and that. With the fadl of Allah, your niyyah has changed. Your intention has changed. And it's not just your desire, you want money and to be rich. You will suppress your desires and you will divert the desire of having money for the sake of Allah. So you'll have money, but your amal, it will become your deeds for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. So this is the heart that we need. And how will we attain this? From the heart. So the heart changes the intention, subhanallah. Everything of us should be refocused, redirected towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything we're doing is for the sake of Allah, nothing else. So the first thing is depression is ended, sadness is ended, distress is ended, haram is ended, and satisfaction will come into our lives. What a great statement that if you're doing everything for the sake of Allah, okay, that's fine. The fadl of Allah, I have no loss due to this, no loss. So your desires will be ended, will be suppressed. So for this, what do we need to do? Kathiran dhikr, kathiran dhikr. Remember Allah so much in your hearts that Allah's love is ingrained in your heart. When Allah's love comes, then everything, before we do everything, we'll remember Allah. We'll remember Allah because we've done so much dhikr, and we will say, "Sure, no, I'm doing this for myself, for my sake. I don't need to do this." And so, does any sort of angle come out of this? Any direction come out of this that I can do this deed for the sake of Allah? And if you see that you're doing it for Allah's sake, then fine, do that action. It's good. Everything of ours can be an asset resource. You sat down to eat. Good food you want to eat, you feel like it, suddenly say, today I want to make chicken, roast chicken, I want to do this, etc. Straight away, food has come in front of you. Before you eat, you make niyyah, this food I'm eating, it's not for my nafs desires, I'm eating for this reason. When I eat the food, I'll drink soup, then I'll go and do dhikr, I'll have energy and strength and vitality. I'm making my health, I'm doing exercise. And people saying, he's exercise, he's young, he's big. I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing exercise for this reason, so I can be healthy. So there's no ibadah of mine that can be wasted due to illness. I can do first class ibadah of Allah when I'm alert and energetic and powerful. And this will be our asset. And this will become your characteristic, your mindset and second nature, because when Allah's love comes into your heart, then I swear by Allah, this becomes the nature of man. Fitrah, second nature, that you will not want to do anything against your good desires. And it looks ajeeb what I'm saying, mashallah, you are pious. You may not think it's weird what I'm saying, but it looks weird to me that how can this be? How can this be? Mashallah, you are pious. But to me, it seems that can this be? Is this possible? I swear by Allah, I've seen people doing this, living like this. I've seen people that they don't even remember their personal desires. They give priority to Allah, because Allah Ta'ala, Allah is in their hearts. And just like these two sahabi said, that we do kathir and dhikr, what can we do so we get reward continuously in the hereafter? So that when you depart from this world, you will depart saying, "Allah, Allah." But that dhikr is a great action, my friends. So will we do this, my brothers? Yes, you'll change and improve. Otherwise, we'll live like donkeys all our life long. Everything will stay. The watches will be taken off, your clothes, your money will be taken, everything. Nothing will go with us, and we don't have any amal in the first place. So what will be our hal in the hereafter? So why don't we do, just like I love my watch here, my watch goes with me, alhamdulillah. And look, my watch is going to be such a big jannah. And that one watch, I didn't buy for my sake. And the watch will say, "You bought me for Allah's sake." Yes, look at this. I'll give you the example. And then the desire ends. And another factor here on top of this, that when you are asking Allah for something and Allah likes that what you're asking, wallahi, then that item you're asking him for, and it's for the sake of Allah you want it, then it's very beneficial in many ways. And it's a very cheap bargain that you've attained. And that item will go for a long time, it won't leave you with the fadl of Allah, because it's connected to Allah. You said, "Allah, I want this so I can utilize this for your sake," then that resource will be with you for a very long time. That's what the Sahaba Ikram stated. That our life, there's no better than this that came to our life. Such a great piece of news. Good news. All the Sahaba Ikram, there's such a great piece of news and such a great day with such good news. Never in our lives did we ever experience a greater day than that. What happened though? What did they get? Such moments in their lives, such experiences. What did they say? That in our lives, there was no more beautiful and greater and illustrious day or day of happiness than this. There wasn't a day more than this. There wasn't. What was in this day? Because an ajeeb message was given to the Sahaba. An ajeeb and unique message. And what was that? The Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated on that day in front of us, that whoever you love, you will be with him in paradise. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba Ikram rejoiced. The Sahaba said, "We became mad out of happiness. No day in the rest of our life was as greater and happy than that." Every Sahabi got the guarantee that we will be with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter, because Rasulullah told us. So what more than this do we want or do we need? They said, "We've attained the objective of life." Why? Because the question doesn't arise that any Sahabi didn't have the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were drowning. They were immersed in the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were immersed. We don't even have the tawfiq, the wali Allah, we think he's pious. Even him, we don't even have love for him. Or let's pick his pocket and benefit from him. Imagine, we don't have the desire. At least we should say that, we love the thieves and the fraudsters. Who would we go? We love those who pick pockets, fraudsters, deceitful people, liars, ghibat people, backbiting people, those who swear, those who are gangsters, those who are criminals, those who have bad characters, hard characters, because we want to get dunya from them. We want to achieve dunya from them. We want to succeed in our life goals and ambitions. Think, have we ever loved a wali Allah in our lives? Have we? Subhanallah. Think about it for a few moments. Such a great point. Rasulullah said in the hadith, whoever you love, you will be with him in Jannah. So if I love such a person who is the Qutb of his time and his maqam, what will it be in the hereafter? What a great level in Jannah he'll be in. And if I make friendship with him, that you are my friend and you are my friend and I am yours, then will he leave your hand or your side? He will keep you with him. Allahu Akbar. Says that we can't even do this action. Tell me. We can't even do this action. That we love so much the dunya, which has no benefit, and it will stay here. The thief goes with the thief. So if we love the wali Allah, and we take his soul by this company, guaranteed 100% that you will be with him in Jannah and Paradise. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So that's when a person realizes the love that he has. Because love is not fake. You can't make love up. The person has love, it's not made up. It's included in the fitrah, in the natural characteristics. Love. I'm telling you the truth. You cannot make up love. Ajib conditions and feelings of one person. When a student loves his sheikh, then many emotions pass by the student. I remember Hazrat Sahib, I couldn't even accept that Hazrat was coughing. I have yaqeen on this. I could not accept that Hazrat Sahib was coughing. That I see my sheikh coughing. Once an event occurred, and I am a person who, mashallah, is conscious and is aware, and I'm very careful of being aware and alert. I try to control my hal and emotions. This is the barakah of Hazrat Sahib. Otherwise, our dhikr is very jalali, very passionate and warm. So from all the khulafa, all the deputies, I was like this, that I used to control myself. People would go into jazb and into deep intensity. But the host of his time, Hazrat Sahib and Naqshbanti, and he was immersed in the name of Allah. Who could sit in front of him and absorb his greatness? No one. Nobody. The question doesn't arise. I tell you the truth. That you'd be fana, lost in his love and his awe. The Hazrat Sahib and the great sheikhs, they could, Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, they could make rocks and stones crumble to dust. This was his karamat. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, the big rocks. He used to live on the banks of the river Sindh. These events are in the kitabs. So when, because he used to toil and do farming, and he would toil in the on the soil, and he would plow the soil, and he'd sit and do dhikr. And when he finished dhikr with his students, then all of the stones and the rocks had crumbled to soil. This is the power of the name of Allah, Ismi Dhat, Ismi Adam of the Naqshbandi system. When we do this dhikr, it has a high effect, strong effect. So once then Hazrat Sahib became ill and he had a bit of a cough, and I fell unconscious. I couldn't bear it. Until today, I'm surprised that what happened to me. I fell unconscious. When I came to consciousness, so at that time, Hazrat Sahib's voice came to me. Is this khair, Baba? Khair, it's okay for you. He said, no worries, there's no problem. Then I woke up. I was conscious. So what was this? Acting? No. That from the name of Allah, there's so much love due to that connection of the sheikh for the sake of Allah. If the niya is correct that I'm going to this man, to this sheikh, and the link is for the sake of Allah, and there's no other action of mine, it's all for the sake of Allah. I want to learn how to get close to Allah. I want to attain the path to Allah. I want to get the love of Allah. That if I learn love from him, then he will teach me to love Allah. And a person is sold at the hands of the sheikh. That's why the transaction of Jannah is done in the company of the sheikh. We don't understand. We've just taken this as some material thing. What a great path. Whoever you love, you'll be with that person. Subhanallah. So at least there should be some proof that we love someone. We go to the wali Allah, we sit with him. Who do we love? We don't even demonstrate that. We're afraid. There's so much dunya is inside us. There's so many paths Allah Ta'ala has opened for Jannah. High class paths. But we don't dare that we should do something or make a connection with someone. Even there we're munafiqs and hypocrites. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us many opportunities. We're alive. How many breaths of life are left? We don't know. It's all promised to Allah Ta'ala. That we won't take anything with us from this world. That these great maqams we're going to in the hereafter, Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Ula, such Jannah levels, so much darajat of Jannah, and we don't have nothing in our hands to offer, will be empty and we'll leave this world. This world will end. Life will end. So come, let's seek a wali Allah, sit in his company, sit in his majlis, love him, have muhabbat for him, and get close to him, listen to his words. And okay, love is a unique emotion. It's a unique emotion in life. If you go to somebody, how will you get love with that person? Is he your relative? Is he a blood relative? Yes? No. So when you make this niyyah intention that this individual, this person who I'm going to, this great person Allah is your friend, your wali, and I need his love so that I can get the guidance from him and attain your qurb by his company, I swear by Allah, Allah will put such a current into your heart that you will have love for that teacher automatically. Subhanallah. I swear by Allah, and I tell you this, I swear by Allah. The same individual who sometime before that you didn't know him, and I experienced this. Experience this. The person who didn't come near to you, didn't listen to you, Allahu Akbar. But when he sits with you for 5 minutes, he sits with the Shaykh, the Wali of Allah, Subhanallah. Then he's joined in such a way that he doesn't even want to leave. Subhanallah. Ajeeb tie is this love for the sake of Allah. Why? Because Allah's name comes in between Allah's name. So we should do that as much, at least this. What are we taking from the world to the after, my brothers? And dunya is not empty from the walis of Allah. That we should have courage, determination. Let's find a wali Allah. Let's sit with him, on our own. Listen to his words, serve him, khidmat. That they are not dependent on anybody. They are not dependent. Khalis, a relationship of love will be formed. Bas. Allah Ta'ala says, you love, I love you, and you should love me. Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar. And that's the end of the story, the journey. That's it. And this is the real life of a person. And we don't know about love. We waste our time. We don't know about home, outside, what to do. We know about money. If money is less, I start crying. If money comes, I'm happy. When is a Christmas bonus, I'm happy. If there's no bonus, I'm unhappy. If the shop runs, I'm happy. If the shop sells, oh, I'm finished. Our life has weird objectives. We don't know who's died, who's alive, who's come, go. We just bury people. We have no link with anyone, no care. Even our tears don't come out of our eyes for anybody alone. But our hearts are so hard that our tears don't come out of our eyes when someone dies. That when we hear about a wali Allah, the tears should come out of our eyes and our hearts should cry. But everywhere there's fraud. Allahu Akbar, which position we come on? Allah Ta'ala, may you forgive. And may Allah Ta'ala soften our rock hard hearts. May Allah Ta'ala allow our hearts to be illuminated with the dhikr. His dhikr, brothers, do dhikr in high quantity. Consider it a ni'mah of Allah, a treasure of Allah, Allah's grace, Allah's mercy. Allah Ta'ala's majalis of dhikr are due to his fadl. This is no common thing. No one's father can arrange this or form this gathering. And never has he done or can he done in the future. Sometimes they come, sometimes they go. The people who are ungrateful, Allah Ta'ala gives those ungrateful people severe punishments. Their children are disobedient. Allah gives them adab, punishments. Allah spoke about the qawms, the nations, the previous nations. How Allah says, I gave them rewards. And the adab I gave them, whichever qawm has adab, pick it up. Look at the Quran, the previous nations. Whichever previous nation had adab, punishment, for one reason, Allah said that they were ungrateful for my ni'mas, my favors. What was my favor? I sent my Nabi to them, my kitab to them. I gave my prophets and Nabis the ability to do da'wah, to propagate the deen. And look today, Allah says, I'll give them assets, and they had buildings and structures, and Allah said, I wiped them away. That, look at the people of Lut. What happened? That there was no sea of the world. Whichever sea you go to, there you can, for example, if you look towards the people of Lut, there you'll see a smell and a fragrance there, in the sea. And Allah has put this sign there, such a qawm Allah Ta'ala destroyed. Those people who are disobedient to Allah and they disobeyed Allah. So we are ungrateful. Allah has given us majalis and dhikr and such words, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And we say, no. Bring your children here. Bring your offspring here. We cry, our children, how will they be corrected? How will they improve this? Is it a drama, this life? Is this how they will be corrected? That how with speed the shaitan is attacking us. In that same speed we should attend the majlis of the walis of Allah. Take hold of the dhikr of Allah. All day and night we do dhikr. This dhikr should be done in every home, the dhikr that we're doing. This is Ithme Adam, the name of Allah. And this is coming from the centuries. The walis of Allah have given us these kalamat. We know what these kalamat are. Whichever majalis these kalamat are recited, Allah Ta'ala allows his rahmas to rain down on those gatherings. This is my experience. Whichever house this dhikr of Allah is established, I swear by Allah, that the biggest and biggest bad thinking people with bad thinking, mashallah, they become started to pray salah and come towards deen. They used to gamble, drink alcohol. I say, maybe don't come to the people who don't have aqidah, don't come, I don't invite you. But one favor please do for me, that for example when you hear this dhikr, then at home put the dhikr on. I swear by Allah, all your children, all the children have become dhakir. This is Bolton. Yet the children, their children have started to dhikr, and he laughs. And his generations are dhikr, and he says that when they pass by the masjid, and he says, Abba, where does this dhikr get announced from? It's happening at home, young children. And he says, well, go one day, my son. It's a masjid. Masjid Zakaria comes from there. He says, when I take them past there from the Kaab, then all the children take their necks out of the country. They say, hey, this is the masjid of Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah. The dhikr of Allah. Yes, so what's the advertisement for this? At least do this in your house for your children. Tell them, put dhikr on. Even if you don't sit down, you don't feel like it, at least Allah's name be recited at home. At least. Try yourself to save your children at least. There's nothing in this world that can save the children. A time will come. Remember, that time has come now. At this moment in time, anything that will save our children, only that person can be saved from Dajjal. Nothing can save us from Dajjal. No action. Big fitnas, Jawuj wa Majuj. One action will save us, and that is the dhikr of Allah, nothing else. Nothing else. Dhikr of Allah will save the people from the fitnas. That's why Allah Ta'ala said that when dhikr ends, then I will remove this world. Dunya will finish when dhikr ends. That's why Allah Ta'ala saved us the whole dunya, and Allah will, dhikr of Allah will save us. Today in our home, shaitaniyat and no deen, non-Islamic actions and thinking, how will these be removed from the dhikr of Allah? By doing the dhikr of Allah, there's a lot of jazba, passion, weight in the name of Allah. Listen to it yourself and let your children listen, your relatives, tell others. The more people you bring, then Allah will elevate your status. That's it. So what do you do this, my brothers? Inshallah. Okay, let's recite Durood Sharif and then start the dhikr of Allah.